Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reflection this morning, we consider all three of the scripture readings, beginning with Jesus' words to his disciples that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Last week, if you were with us, you know that we celebrated our faith in Christ alone. And we did so through the blessing of the images and experience and the music shared by our youth who were able to travel last summer down to the National Youth Gathering and join in the company of 25,000 other Christian young people in praise of our Lord. One of our students who participated in that same event several years ago commented that such a mass gathering of believers seemed to him like a glimpse of heaven. And I could certainly see his point. And so this week, we turn our attention toward sharing that faith in Christ alone. We have a bumper sticker on a refrigerator in our home that reads, "Keep the faith, but not to yourself." And our emphasis on reaching out beyond ourselves with the good news of Jesus Christ is inspired for us this weekend largely by our visit with Tyler McMiller and the work that he is doing. And we thank him also this morning for sharing his musical gifts and bringing the violin into our worship as well. It's great to have him back and to get an opportunity to catch up on the work that he has been doing in Mexico and the Dominican Republic. Each of our readings, as I mentioned a moment ago, we want to focus on all three of them because they each give us a slightly different perspective of our Lord's view and a directive, a command of what the church should be about in our mission work as his followers. Each reading offers a little bit different angle, and so taken all together, we see a clear picture of what we as disciples, what we as the church are called to do in response to God's grace. And so we begin with this excerpt from the beginning of Acts. As you know, after Jesus' resurrection, he spent time with his disciples over a period of 40 days. And so to begin, I'd like you to try to imagine what it was like to be a disciple of Jesus in those days. You had watched your teacher, your Lord, murdered, crucified even. And everything that you would have thought that you knew about the world, about the future of God's people, about your own future, was seemingly destroyed until he rose from the dead. And imagine the wonder and enthusiasm of the conversations they had with Jesus, those post-resurrection visits. And so rather naturally, I suspect, the disciples asked the question that we read at verse 6. "Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" I mean, you could kind of hear in the question, "We are ready to declare victory and live happily ever after." Jesus has an altogether different vision of their future and of ours. And so he tells the disciples, as he tells us through his word, God's greater plan is not for you to know. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And in that one statement, Our Lord establishes this paradigm for missions that has been the model for the church ever since. Jesus first calls on his followers to share the gospel right where they are. After the Holy Spirit came, they were to share the good news in Jerusalem, their immediate community. But already he's commending them to look beyond what is local and toward the whole region in which they live, which for them would be the region of Judea. He calls them to go even where they are likely unwelcomed, to Samaria, the historic adversary of the Jews, and finally, to the ends of the earth. In other words, the gospel must be proclaimed everywhere. Matthew famously records in his gospel Jesus telling the disciples on this same occasion to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end. And with that vision before them, Jesus then returns to his Father. That simple but extraordinary mission has guided the church for these 2,000 plus years. And it guides our mission efforts right here at Trinity. In our Jerusalem, our community, we bear witness and teach all that God has commanded to over 200 children every day in our school and another 200 in our high school. And that is an extraordinary opportunity for us, day in and day out, for which I hope we never grow weary of praising God. It has often been said here that the school is our mission. Indeed, alongside our Sabbath worship of word and sacrament, Christ-centered education is indeed at the core of what our Lord has enabled us to do. But we too hear our Lord's call to look beyond our immediate community. And so we share our resources with our South Wisconsin district of the LCMS, and through the collective work of many churches in our region, new congregations are planted, and people groups, immigrants, those who may seem quite different from us, also hear the good news of our Lord. This is our Judea. And men like Pastor Rich Radowski and his Bible translation work in Botswana, Southern Africa, and now more recently, Tyler and his work in Mexico and the DR have been our partners in carrying the gospel to various ends of the earth. And our second reading from Romans chapter 10 makes clear what is at stake. Paul writes that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that statement is as profound as it is simple, for there is salvation. Confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, alongside the faith that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead in victory over sin and death, victory over your sin and your death and mine, just as God had promised through the prophets, and as Jesus had foretold to his disciples. And with that great truth in view, Paul then goes on to ask these extremely obvious but incredibly important questions. He asks, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And finally, how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Very simply, we need to continue partnering with men like Tyler who are sent on our behalf, really, to share the gospel with those who have not yet heard, wherever in the world they may be. Because the stakes are eternally high. Faith in Jesus Christ is the way unto eternal life. We cannot simply keep that faith to ourselves. Our Lord recognized from the beginning that not all of us, not even most of us, are called to carry the gospel far beyond our homes. But those people that are called to that work need to be sent by the church. They need and deserve our devoted support, just as St. Paul so cherished the support that he received from the churches throughout his missionary career. Now, I honestly can't relate to never knowing of Jesus. The faith is a kind of DNA in the family in which I grew up, and that has been a great blessing. But to share Jesus in a place where he has been previously unknown is truly extraordinary, and we need to be part of it continuing around the world. We've probably shared with you before an experience Mary and I had in our opportunity to be missionaries in Russia when a teaching colleague in the little school where we were serving asked Mary if she knew the Christmas story. She said she did, and the lady wanted to make sure that they were clear. She said, "The one with the baby in the manger." Mary affirmed again, yes, indeed, she knew that story. And this Russian colleague then turned to her and said, "Will you teach us?" What an extraordinary opportunity it is to carry the gospel to those who have never heard it before. While we are not all sent to proclaim the good news abroad, our gospel reading for today completes the picture of bearing witness for Christ, one that includes each one of us as active participants. We serve our King also as we serve those who are immediately around us in need. Jesus recounted some of those needs when he said, "I was hungry and thirsty, you gave me food and drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and that is cut off from society, and you came to visit me. You kept me in as a part of this community." And in serving such physical and relational needs of those around us, we serve Christ. We serve our neighbor. We carry the gospel. Within our congregation here, we have many times gathered food and clothing. We have organized community meals for those who are hungry. We have traveled to assist in hurricane restoration or to repair a home in a region of ongoing poverty. And there are numerous other examples. But as St. Paul says to the Galatians, let us never grow weary in doing good. Each one of us is called to look around and discern how to fulfill this model of mission life as a member of the body of Christ. Who in your Jerusalem, in your immediate community, can you reach out to in love and service on behalf of our Lord? With whom can you bear witness of your faith in Jesus Christ? How can you contribute to the work of others so that the gospel does indeed continue to be spread to the ends of the earth? Now, our answers to those questions may be different one from another, but our Lord calls each of us to answer them. Answer them in our hearts, and to fulfill that answer in our lives. And we do so not to gain God's favor, not to somehow bolster our righteousness resume, for such motivation would be truly pointless. No, we serve because our Lord has called us to do so, invited us to be partners in the gospel. We serve, I pray, in thanksgiving, recognizing how incredibly, how incomparably God has already served us in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And we give thanks for the daily blessings that we enjoy. I hope that you will again today give renewed thought to the means by which you in your life will keep the faith, but not to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.